at Trader Joe's on Instagram.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lori. Coming up today, we'll hear from a student who is helping to organize the planned protest this Saturday against gun violence. And then later on, we'll talk about some of the national news stories, including more about the identity of that terrorist bomber who was scaring the folks in Austin, Texas, and also responsible for killing people and maiming others. We'll talk about that later. But first, one listener comment about yesterday's program. Yesterday, we had in the studio a 93-year-old survivor of Nazi Germany. He happened to be a neighbor of Adolf Hitler. He was Jewish. After the show, here's what one listener had to say.
Ernie in Port Richey. This is about the Nazi survivor that was interviewed yesterday. I just wanted to comment that there aren't many of these folks left, especially those with this kind of unique experience. I hope he receives wide exposure and a lot of appreciation.
A listener comment that came in after yesterday's program. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa. Earlier today, I spoke with a high school student at Tampa Catholic. She's a senior, and she is helping to organize a rally and protest and march this coming Saturday in the morning against gun violence. It's one of a series of events around the Tampa Bay area and around the nation slated for Saturday. The big ones in Washington, D.C. We'll see how that goes, given the snowy weather that Washington's getting today. But here's my interview with Madison Rembrandt, who is a student at Tampa Catholic High School. And we're going to hear a little bit about the rally and march and protest this Saturday.
It's early in Port Richey.
My name is Madison Rambrack. I'm a senior at Tampa Catholic High School. And I'm the only one from my school helping organize the march. But there's about 10 other students from different schools that are helping organize. The main two organizers are both seniors at Plant High School right now. So, yeah, it's like a group effort from like a lot of different schools, like all over Hillsborough County and some from Pinellas County.
So what are you planning to do this Saturday?
So we have planned a rally for an hour before the actual march. And in the rally, there's going to be student performances, spoken word. I believe Bob Buckhorn's going to be speaking also. And so after this, we're all going to go and march and chant and have posters. And we have a designated marching route that was given to us by the police department. So we'll be following that and following the sister marches and the big DC march and hoping that we can make an impact through it.
So where is this march going to be?
It's taking place in Kylie Gardens in Curtis Hickson. It's like this little elevated grassy area part. That's where it's starting at. And then it kind of does like a loop around University of Tampa and comes back. It's in downtown Tampa, which is a really, like, central location for all of Tampa Bay, so we hope that a lot of people will attend.
All right, so you'll be downtown in the park along the river, along Ashley Drive in downtown on Saturday. What time does it start?
It starts at 10 a.m., and it goes until 12 p.m., so it's 2 hours. We rally for an hour and march for an hour, but we suggest that people try to get there as early as possible, because we know that parking might be an issue, and considering that there's going to be a lot of other events going on in downtown and like that area during Saturday as well.
Yeah, so Curtis Hickson can be pretty busy on a Saturday. Madison, what are you calling for? What do you think most students would like to see done about gun violence?
I know that, at least speaking for myself and the other like-minded individuals I've been working with, we all just want to feel safe going to school. We want to feel safe to go to a concert, to a movie, anywhere. This isn't limited just to students and in the school, because gun violence is affecting everywhere in this country. And we just want visible legislative change. And by that, we mean, like, it's great what Florida passed and, like, a lot of those tenets of that Bill were amazing, but we want to see that on a national level. We want everybody to feel safe and not have gun violence take their life. So we're really just calling for gun reform, and if that's not the case, then we want to show the legislators that we're ready. We will vote, and we will vote them out if we see that they aren't taking the precautions that are needed or are accepting money from the NRA or are just not keeping us safe.
So would you like to see a ban on what people are now calling weapons of war?
We would like to see an assault weapon ban, but at the very least, we would want at least the legal age to be raised to 21, and we want a ban on bump stocks so that nobody can fire so many rounds in such a small amount of time. We also want universal background checks, longer waiting periods, close the gun show loophole. There's a multitude of things that we would like to see, but the smallest steps are steps in the right direction.
Yeah. So, Madison, you know, there's this whole other side to this gun debate. There's people that say these gun-free zones like restaurants and hospitals and schools and parks and movie theaters, all these gun-free zones, we should allow guns in every one of these places. Put guns in schools, put guns in restaurants, put guns in hospitals, allow guns everywhere, and we'd all be safer. What would you say to those folks that say that they want to see more guns and everybody heavily armed in the U.S.?
Guns aren't the issue. I mean, guns are the issue. So, like, if we add more guns, there's only going to be an increase in gun violence, at least in schools, for arming teachers. My teachers are having a hard enough time as it is to find reams of paper, to have supplies, and now we want to give them guns. They're trying to do their best job at educating the youth of the future and the youth of America, and they can't be worrying about also becoming a sharpshooter in the case of somebody coming on campus and trying to commit a mass shooting. It's horrifying to think that there's going to be guns surrounding me. It makes me feel less safe, honestly. It wouldn't make me feel secure to know that my teacher, who doesn't have as much training or skill or capability as somebody that would be in the army or in the police force, is going to have to not only put us all in danger by trying to shoot somebody that could be like in a crowd of like mass hysteria and like having collateral damage, accidentally shooting some other kids. It's like really unsettling to think that there's going to be more guns rather than less guns, because if there's less guns, then there's less chance of gun violence occurring.
Madison, one last question. At school, you go to Tappet Catholic, you're a senior. How much talk is there about guns and gun safety these days since Parkland and now in Southern Maryland yesterday, another shooting? How much talk is there when you're on campus and in the class and you're talking with your fellow students who are talking to the teachers? How much talk is there about guns on campus?
Ever since Parkland and even before that, we're taking American government right now as seniors, like second semester. So we've been talking about the Second Amendment and we've been brainstorming ways that we could regulate that without taking that right away, because nobody wants to take your constitutional rights away. We just want to ensure that everybody's safe and that school shootings and any shootings don't ever occur. So we talk about it a lot on this campus ever since Parkland, especially. I know that I've been talking with my student friends and peers and saying, like, would you join me in this movement? And a lot of the youth feel empowered, and not even just the youth alone, because teachers and adults, like, this affects you too. This affects your students, your kids, your grandchildren. A lot of people feel like we need to do something and we need to step up and let our voices be heard. So we've been in conversation with that. We've taken extra precautions at my school, at least, to ensure safety. We've been locking all the doors and making sure that we have, like, a pass system so that everybody knows, like, who everybody is on campus so that there couldn't be, like, a stranger. But this isn't enough. This precautions that we've taken, they're not going to completely eliminate the opportunity for somebody to come on campus. So that's why we're marching because we want to show that as a unified community that we're not standing by this any longer. We're not going to let this be swept under the rug like every other shooting or massacre that's happened. We will keep fighting. We won't let the fire die out, and we will not stop until we see visible legislative change.
Madison, the march is this Saturday at 10 a.m. at Curtis Hickson Park in downtown Tampa. It goes around, it'll go over the bridge and around the University of Tampa campus. Is there anything else that you'd like to add or point out, or is there anything else you'd like to say about this topic?
Yes, I just want to say that this is a peaceful, nonpartisan movement and protest, and we don't want this to be a battle with right versus left or political party versus other political party. This is just a group of unified people that want to see an end to gun violence. It doesn't matter. It's regardless of race, sex, age, gender. Like, this is just humans uniting, trying to ensure that we can go places and not fear for our lives, because that's not living if we're scared everywhere we go. We just want to ensure that, like, for the future of our children and their children's children, that they can freely go places and not be subjected to gun violence.
Madison Rembrack, thanks a lot. Thanks for coming on WMNF.
Thank you so much.
That's Madison Rembrack, who's a senior at Tampa Catholic High School and one of the organizers of this Saturday's march and rally in downtown Tampa. And if you want to comment about anything you're hearing on the show, you can email the studio here. Our email address is dj@wmnf.org. Well, the Austin American Statesman, the newspaper in Austin, Texas, has given us more information about this terrorist bomber who terrorized Austin for the past few weeks. And I'm just going to read from their coverage this morning. The paper says the suspected Austin serial bomber, who apparently killed himself early today as authorities closed in on him, was a Pflugerville resident, Mark A. Condit. Local and federal law enforcement sources told the American Statesman, as the sun rose, neighbors of the 23-year-old who was homeschooled growing up and went to Austin Community College struggled to wrap their minds around the news that authorities were linking him to the bombings. One neighbor said, "I know this is a cliche, but I just can't imagine that." The neighbor described Condit as a nice kid from a good home. Police say that Condit was 24, although some public records indicate he was 23. Condit was homeschooled. He received a degree from Austin Community College's North Ridges campus and had worked at Crux Semiconductor in Austin as a purchasing agent, buyer, shipping, and receiving, according to a job profile on a recruiting website. He previously worked as a computer repair technician. There are very few public social media posts under his name, and Austin police said this morning that they believe one person created all the explosive devices used in the recent bombings. Well, that's a part of the coverage from the local newspaper there in Austin, Texas, about who this terrorist bomber is. He is a white male. And again, if you want to comment about anything you're hearing here, you can call us up at 813-239-9663. Or you can email us at dj@wmnf.org. The Washington Post is reporting that Fox News seems to be going out of its way to avoid talking about Donald Trump's alleged extramarital affair with the porn star Stormy Daniels and the $130,000 in hush money that could bring him down, bring down his presidency. Fox doesn't even seem to want to talk about the $20 million that Trump's lawyers say that she owes him. So just reading from the Washington Post, even though Daniels has been prominent, displayed in the news for the past few weeks, her name has been barely heard on Fox. During the week of March 5th through March 9th, Fox News programs mentioned Daniels' name nine times between 7 and 11 p.m., compared with 144 mentions on MSNBC and 141 mentions on CNN. Last week, the conversation died down a bit, so MSNBC mentioned Stormy Daniels' name only 44 times. CNN did mention it 79 times during the week. Fox News did not mention her once last week during prime time. We're going to listen to a little bit of the Washington Post, a recap of the story of Stormy Daniels and the other women who came forward yesterday. And again, if you want to comment about this, 813-239-9663. I'm getting this next sound from the Washington Post website. Let's listen in on their recap of the Stormy Daniels story.
President Trump broke. The saga has gotten stranger and stranger.
I don't know, did I?
Wait a minute, that you can say, right?
That does not look like my signature.
Adult film actress Stormy Daniels has now sued Donald Trump.
Did she have a sexual relationship with the president?
Yes.
It all started with an In Touch interview in 2011, when Stormy Daniels, whose real name is Stephanie Clifford, said she had an affair with Donald Trump in 2006 and 2007, after meeting him at a charity golf tournament. But the interview wasn't published, and Daniels signed a non-disclosure agreement facilitated by Trump's lawyer, Michael Cohen, in October 2016, mere weeks before the election. Cohen also paid her $130,000, money he says came from his personal accounts.
There are some big unanswered questions right now. Where did the money actually come from? Michael Cohen, Trump's lawyer, has said it was his own money, but there are questions about whether he was at some point reimbursed by either the Trump organization, Trump, RNC.
Fast forward to 2018, and the long-rumored affair came to light with a report in the Wall Street Journal of Cohen's payment to Daniels. That set off In Touch to publish their 2011 interview and Daniels to launch a publicity tour, sparking a flurry of news reports and interview requests.
Do you have a non-disclosure agreement?
Do I?
Cohen admitted to paying Daniels a few weeks later, in February 2018.
Cohen formed an LLC called Essential Consultants on October 17th, 2016. So we're talking just a couple weeks before the election. And that became the vehicle to then pay Stormy Daniels. It was a payment that landed on October 27th, so just days before the election.
I mean, at what point?
And then in March, Daniels sued Trump to get the NDA declared void, saying Trump never signed it.
And she alleged that that he knew about this whole arrangement, knew about the hush money, and that her agreement to stay silent was null and void because he never actually signed it. This complaint is important because there are two other complaints pending before the Federal Election Commission that basically say that this payment amounted to a campaign finance law violation. And the reason it was a violation is because it was done in coordination with Trump to save his presidential hopes.
Daniels' lawyer says she wants to be free from the NDA to tell the whole story.
In light of the amount of misinformation that's out there, some of which has been disseminated by Mr. Cohen and others, she believes it's important that the public learn the truth about what happened.
But so far, the White House has refused to comment.
Not that I'm aware of, and again, anything beyond what I've already given you, I would refer you to the president's outside counsel, Steve.
All right, so you can see that recap on the Washington Post website. That's a recap of
today.
The Stormy Daniels case so far. Again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. Adam writes this regarding the bombings in Austin. He says, I thought it was ridiculous that White House spokesperson Sarah Sanders tweeted there is no apparent nexus to terrorism. Seems like terrorizing innocent civilians with improvised explosive devices should be labeled terrorism. And Adam goes on to write, if we found out it was a brown guy today, Trump would be all over tweeting about how we have to ban people. That's Adam's comment. Ernie writes this regarding Madison Rembrandt, the student who I interviewed at the top of the show. Ernie writes this, kudos to the young woman for organizing students to exercise their First Amendment rights. We need to try and understand the problem of which the gun violence is a symptom. What has happened to our society? Some schools used to have gun ranges and marksmanship was taught. If we focus only on guns, we ignore the deep problem, writes Ernie, who's in Port Richey. And what's your take on this? 813-239-9663. So we've talked a little bit about guns and a little bit about the Stormy Daniels case. There was a really interesting exchange last night on CNN. We're not going to hear the whole exchange, but we're going to hear part of it right now. The lawyers for Stormy Daniels, a.k.a. Stephanie Clifford, the porn actress who uses the stage name Stormy Daniels, and Michael Cohen, the longtime attorney for President Trump, who arranged the non-disclosure agreement with Daniels, appeared on CNN last night to debate Clifford's lawsuit challenging the validity of the hush agreement. The debate between Clifford's lawyer, his name is Michael Avenatti, and Cohen's lawyer, Arthur Schwartz, got heated at times last night, with the two attorneys arguing over the non-disclosure agreement, barring Clifford from discussing her alleged sexual relationship with Trump. Here's Anderson Cooper of CNN asking a question of Arthur Schwartz, the attorney who is in the Trump camp.
David, Michael Cohen has claimed that he paid this $130,000 in hush money out of his own pocket from a home equity line of credit. He did it, had nothing to do with the Trump organization, nothing to do with Donald Trump personally or the White House. I mean, does any attorney ever pay $130,000 out of their own pocket?
First of all, we keep labeling it as hush money. It's pursuant to a non-disclosure agreement. These non-disclosure agreements are entered into every single day in America. They're entered into by politicians.
But it's money to remain
CEOs.
Silent.
So, but it's money to not disclose the substance of the case.
Okay.
And so $130,000 was paid. It was pursuant to a contract. But to answer your question, is that normal course of business for an attorney to pay it? No, but there's nothing illegal about it. And given the context of this relationship, there's certainly nothing unethical about it. And remember, Michael Cohen was representing EC LLC. It was EC LLC that entered into this contract. Donald Trump was a third-party beneficiary.
Does that make sense to you?
It doesn't. Donald Trump was not a third-party beneficiary under the law of California. He was a signatory to the agreement. What Mr. Cohen has said is as follows, that he negotiated this on his own, that he undertook all of this effort, and that at no point in time did his close friend and client, Donald Trump, know anything about it. He didn't know about the negotiation, he didn't know about the agreement, and he didn't know about the payment. I have a very simple question, Anderson. If all of that is believable, then why did Mr. Cohen draft an agreement with a signature line for Donald Trump?
Very simple.
If Donald Trump was never going to be a party to the agreement, and if he didn't want to bother Donald Trump with the agreement, and if Donald Trump was too busy campaigning for president to know anything about the agreement, and Mr. Cohen was going to do this on his own and wasn't going to bother Mr. Trump, then why take the effort to draft the agreement to make Donald Trump a signatory to the agreement?
David, that's painting a fictional picture of the whole scenario. There's an or there, so it could be EC LLC.
Right, but why have any line for Donald Trump?
Because they left it open. They left it open for either or. But the bottom line is, EC LLC entered into the contract.
Right. Trump had nothing to do with this, why have a
he
line
for Donald? He has everything to do with it. He was a third-party beneficiary. You're just not acknowledging that fact, that he's a third-party beneficiary to this contract. He doesn't have to be a party to the contract to benefit from the contract, but he certainly can enforce the contract like a third-party beneficiary can, and this is a contract. And you are advising your client to blatantly violate a contract. And you know what? She's liable for $20 million, and this is an airtight contract. An airtight contract, $1 million per violation, and it's not just the disclosure.
Where do you get the $20 million figure?
Are you
talking about her appearances on the Make America Horny tour?
There are 20 different violations, and you could see it because in the contract, as it was artfully crafted, it's even the threat of a violation. It's even the threat of disclosure is a violation under the contract. So she's going to be liable for $20 million, and Michael Cohen is going to collect every single penny of that money. Make no mistake.
Michael.
He's going to collect everything.
Anderson, why isn't your name on the contract? Why isn't my name on the contract? Why isn't his name on the contract? If Mr. Cohen's to be believed, all of our names should be on the contract. The fact of the matter is, the story does not hold up. And Section 8.6 of the agreement specifically required all parties to sign the agreement.
And or.
I didn't interrupt you.
Or.
I didn't interrupt you during your bombastic comments. Please let me finish. 8.6 of the agreement provides that all parties are to sign the agreement. All parties did not sign the agreement. Here's another reason why this argument is full of holes. There are specific provisions in the agreement. Consideration that only Donald Trump could provide. It's not just about the $130,000.
What do you mean specific consideration?
If you look at the agreement, in exchange for what my client was to provide, she was to receive $130,000 plus other things. What do I mean by that? Donald Trump was to release her of potential claims that he might have against her. Donald Trump was to agree to stay away from her and her family. Donald Trump was to do all sorts of things laid out in that agreement. Now, Mr. Cohen, if he was only representing ECLLC, as the claim has been made, how could he release or how could he provide that consideration, those terms that my client bargained
how
for?
Can it my, doesn't how make can it Michael, an absurd view of contract
But
law.
How can Michael there, Cohen promise that Donald Trump would follow
because
through
Because the
these
consideration
things.
Here is the non-disclosure of whatever she's about to disclose in exchange for $130,000.
But he's saying there's it's more than $130,000.
There's consideration. There's two parties to the contract. Both parties signed the contract.
But how can Michael Cohen promise that Donald Trump is not going to go near her family or Donald Trump is going to release her from other things if Donald Trump is not a signatory?
Because those portions are irrelevant to the consideration at hand.
So why are they in the contract?
It's $130,000. I don't even know where he's reading that in the contract, but I didn't see that in the contract. But the bottom line is, there's consideration, there's a contract, and there is a massive breach of this contract. And, you know, when this case is all said and done, you know, she's going to be liable for $20 million.
But again, I don't get the
millions of dollars.
I know it's $1 million
well,
per
what,
breach.
$10 million. Who knows how many millions of dollars?
Well, no, but you guys have been saying 20. I was trying to figure out where does that 20 figure come from.
I've been going by what they've been saying. So, but the 20 is easy because there are easily 20 different violations when it's the threat. It's the threat of disclosure of the material. And she will have to pay this back one day.
Why not just let her talk? I don't understand why. Let me
signed an agreement.
No, but let me finish. Why is it so important? Why is it so important to your friend and the President of the United States to keep this woman under wraps, to keep her under the thumb, to shut her up?
Right.
Why is it so important?
You know, well,
Let me finish. Why is that so important?
Well, let's answer
why
that
not,
question first.
Why not let her
well,
come
let me
forward?
Answer your question.
Let,
it's
why
important.
Not let her
it's
come
important
forward?
To every
why,
single
why
person
her?
That enters into a non-disclosure agreement. People do this. People do this in order to avoid litigation and avoid the embarrassment to family, to business, to reputation. That's why people enter into these. You know why people enter into these contracts. They're entered into all the time. TV personalities have entered into these contracts. By the way, state legislators enter into these contracts. And you know who pays the money? The taxpayers pay the money on those.
Well, that was part of a debate, much longer debate last night on CNN between two lawyers, Stephanie Clifford, a.k.a. Stormy Daniels' lawyer. She's the porn actress who allegedly had an affair with Donald Trump. The lawyer's name is Michael Avenatti. And we also heard there Michael Cohen's lawyer. Cohen is a longtime lawyer for Donald Trump. And Cohen's lawyer there was David Schwartz. Apparently, Cohen didn't want to appear on that segment. So what do you think? 813-239-9663. Avenatti asked the question there, why not let Daniels talk? She apparently will talk to 60 Minutes this Sunday, but I'm very interested in this question. Why does President Trump want to penalize this woman for speaking out by forcing her to pay $20 million? What do you think about that? 813-239-9663. Sheba writes, the option I thought of is that Donald is afraid that his Steele dossier golden shower episode was not a one-time thing. That Donald may have a fetish, and all these women will testify to his fetishes and possibly other fetishes. But I do not believe that Donald is just afraid of the stories getting out. There is more behind the story, and the money idea is certainly in line with what Donald values most, writes Sheba. We're going to take some phone calls in a few minutes. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. You probably read or heard the news in the last 12 hours that President Trump did not follow specific warnings from his national security advisors yesterday when he congratulated Russian President Vladimir Putin on his reelection, including a section in his briefing materials in all capital letters saying, "Do not congratulate," according to officials familiar with the call. This is largely based on Washington Post reporting. Trump also chose not to heed talking points from aides instructing him to condemn the recent poisoning of a former Russian spy in Britain with a powerful nerve agent, a case that both British and U.S. governments have blamed on Moscow. Although the Trump administration has taken a tougher stance toward Russia recently, including new sanctions last week on some entities for election meddling and cyber attacks, the president has declined to forcefully join London in denouncing Moscow for the poisoning of Sergei Skripal and his daughter Yulia in Salisbury, England, this month. And Skripal is the former Russian spy who's now living in England. Now, former CIA Director John Brennan appeared on Morning Joe today in order to tear into Donald Trump and express his view that the president doesn't criticize Russia because Vladimir Putin really might have leverage over him. In the last few weeks, Brennan unleashed several scathing criticisms about Trump's performance, his policies, and his animosity with members of the intelligence community. Here's just a short segment of Brennan this morning on MSNBC.
David, Michael Cohen.
All right, so we're going to try to get this queued up, right? Doesn't seem to be working, right?
I think he's afraid of the president of Russia.
Why?
Well, I think one can speculate as to why, that the Russians may have something on him personally, that they could always roll out and make his life more difficult. Clearly, I think it's important for us to be able to improve relations with Russia. But the fact that he has had this fawning attitude toward Mr. Putin has not said anything negative about him. I think continues to say to me that he does have something to fear and something very serious to fear.
Do you believe Russia has something on him?
I believe that the Russians would not they would opt for things to do if they believe that it was in their interests. And the Russians, I think, have had long experience with Mr. Trump and may have things that they could expose.
Something personal, perhaps?
Perhaps.
What does it tell you about the White House staff, the National Security staff, their thoughts about the sitting president of the United States when it's leaked within 2 hours, something so sensitive about a topic so sensitive as is yesterday?
Well, I think it reflects their frustration and probably also their disgust that the President of the United States, who is going to be talking to Mr. Putin, refuses to follow the advice of the Russian experts from the National Security staff. That is something that I think they feel that what's the sense of doing their job if he's just going to countermand what it is that they are recommending? So the fact that somebody called the Washington Post and gave detailed information about it, I think it shows the level of frustration has reached fever pitch right now in the White House.
Well, that's former CIA Director John Brennan this morning on MSNBC, and you can see that entire interview on the MSNBC website. The big quote out of that interview from Brennan is, quote, "I think he is afraid of the Russian president. They may have something on him personally that they can always roll out and make his life more difficult," unquote. All right, let's talk about this and everything else that's going on in the news. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Tony writes this regarding Trump's congratulations to Putin. This is worse than the Stormy Daniels scandal. I don't know whether Trump congratulated a murderer and a tyrant because of Trump's love for authoritarian right-wing dictators or because Putin has something on Trump. Either way, it's really bad to know that this of our minority elected president. That's Tony, who's in St. Pete. And here's an email that talks about the situation in Austin. Dan writes, maybe we could look at the hospitals where all these white terrorists are born. If they are all Methodist hospitals, we should ban their births. Not sure what that means, Dan. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. It's easy to send it an email to the studio. You can just send it to dj@wmnf.org. And Gina writes this, there is yet a second woman who has come forward saying she was paid $150,000 in hush money. Yeah, I think the Washington Post touched on that. And Gina goes on to write, the point is, no matter who signed this contract, it shows President Trump paying hush money to women he has had affairs with. If any other president did this in modern times, there would be pandemonium. If Obama did this, there would be calls for his resignation. People give Trump a pass because we've become accustomed to his sleaze. The GOP leaders in Congress are so pathetic they do nothing, and it is up to them, writes Gina. 813-239-9663 is the number to call if you want to help start this conversation. Let's go to Teresa in St. Pete. Hey, Teresa, you're on M&F. What would you like to say?
Well, first I want to congratulate those young people. I hope they keep it up and they really get out there and vote those guys out so they can get what they want. I really do. I'm praying for them. Second of all, Republicans don't care if their people have affairs or they don't care. They only care when a Democrat does it. I can remember under Clinton, it was just like this huge deal. And even when Hillary was running it during the campaign, they brought it up 20 years later. But, you know, they're okay with Republicans doing it. That's just fine. So, you know, I guess. I don't know, you know.
Yeah, so you think there's a double standard. All right.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I honestly, I think... Trump and Putin, I mean, I'm not a big conspiracy theorist person, but I really think that they're in cahoots with, I just don't know. There's something going on there because he just, I mean, you know, he just doesn't say anything bad about Putin. So I don't know what it is, but I think there's something, there really is something there.
All right.
I think Mueller's going to find it, and then we're going to find out.
Okay, we'll find out. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, Teresa.
Yeah. Yep.
Great to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Chris in Tampa writes, Brennan is a pile of S. And you know what the next three letters are. Brennan is a pile of S. And then Chris goes on to write, kind of like your biased coverage of President Trump, right? So Chris saying that we're biased against President Trump. Chris, thanks. Thanks for your emails and thanks for your comments. I'm still interested in this news that Fox is going out of its way to avoid talking about Donald Trump's alleged extramarital affair with Stormy Daniels. Last week, Fox didn't mention her once in prime time between 7 and 11 p.m. What do you think that says? And what is that? Does that help people who watch Fox News exclusively? What do you think? 813-239-9663. Let's go to Laura in Sarasota. Hi, Laura. You're on M&F. What would you like to say?
Hi, Rob.
Hi.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, great. A couple of things. One is, what comes after unhinged? Because Trump was unhinged way before Hope Hicks said she was leaving. I don't think there's a word to describe his behavior in the last few weeks. So I'm just wondering if there's a...
I think the word could be meltdown. That might be the next step.
No. He's been melting down.
All right. So we're beyond meltdown and unhinged. Okay. I don't know what the next step is.
I don't know. Because once you're unhinged, you're all open and dumped over. So I don't know. But the other thing is, I thought it was common knowledge because I heard it so long ago that Putin's oligarch, which is now Trump's oligarch from Russia, have funded all of his major properties and helped with all of his bankruptcies and losses. So wouldn't that be the major issue that keeps Trump so quiet? Supposing they call on wanting all that money back, it's impossible.
Yeah, you know, and we're I think we're expecting that the Mueller investigation will get to the heart of that, whether or not President Trump has been propped up illegally by Russian investments in his companies. I mean, they could be legal investments too.
Yes, they could be legal.
Yeah.
But if they call on him to pay them back, which he would say, "Okay, you're talking bad about me, so I want the money back."
And President Trump this morning was tweeting, suggesting that he wants Mueller fired. He's been doing that for months now. And the some Republicans are beginning to speak out, saying this would not be a good idea. The Senate Majority Leader yesterday said it would not be a good idea, essentially. So, but I think the president is suggesting that Mueller ought to be fired. What if President Trump got Mueller somehow to be fired, what do you think that would do to the country?
Well, I think the country's pretty messed up already. Having Mueller fired is just going to divide us even more. I think that truth will out eventually. The problem is that Putin probably really, really owns Trump. And Trump, it's not about the women or any of these affairs. Trump is only cares about one thing, and that's his money. And Putin is the key to keeping this quiet so he can keep protecting his ass.
Okay, Laura, thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks for calling in. It's great to hear from so many women already. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Bob in Oldsmar. Hi, Bob. You're on WMNF. What would you like to say?
Yeah, good afternoon. Oh, God, so many things. You know, I love all the speculation, and I'll go right to, you know, Fox News when the comment he made. God, I watch all the news, and CNN avoids everything, anything that's positive or, you know, all there'll be all kind of stuff going on, and all they're talking about is Stormy Daniels all night. And what I want to get Stormy Daniels, what's the end game? You know, it's obvious they had, okay, if they had an affair, let's say that, and it was paid, you know, non-disclosure. That is kind of common, you know, based on the way they attack him every day, maybe he tried to head it off. It's obvious that all she wants to do is go on all, you know, Stephen Colbert or, you know, and she's going to make money. She can make more money now.
You know, I think.
And what is the end game if she says, "Okay, I had an affair"? Like,
well, I mean, wouldn't that
be earth shattering?
Right, but wouldn't that be okay if she said she had an affair? I mean, we're expecting her to say that on Sunday night
that anyway.
All right, so but it's more than that. Bob, just hold on for a sec. It's more than that. The president wants to slap her with a $20 million penalty. So
that's usually what a non-disclosure is about.
But Bob, that attorney said that the non-disclosure agreements are signed every day. Have you ever signed a non-disclosure agreement?
Well, I haven't.
I haven't either. I don't think they're signed every day. I think they're a pretty rare thing. Yeah. No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you off.
This is a contract dispute. Whether she is allowed to talk or doesn't talk.
Well, why does the president want to hide this? Why does the president? But why does the president want to hide this? Let's say that
the principle of a contract.
Let's say that Barack Obama. Bob, hang in with me for a second. Let's say that Barack Obama had an affair with his wife a few years before he was elected, or affair with somebody who was not his wife, rather, a few years before he was elected president. And President Obama had paid hush money to that person to try to cover it up so that he could win the election in 2008. How do you think Fox News would play that?
It wouldn't matter. I mean, I don't know.
Fox News wouldn't talk about that?
All right, but see, now, based on...
Bob, just give me a straight answer. How would Fox News play that? President Obama gives a woman $130,000, tries to shut her up just before the election, you know, 2 or 3 weeks out from the election, and he wins the election in a very close race. How would Fox News play that?
First 2 weeks.
How would Fox News play that?
Blame him for doing it. I don't know. I wouldn't blame Obama if he did it.
You wouldn't blame Obama? Okay, you don't think Fox News would play that up, huh?
No, but what I'm saying is, listen, somebody just called and said that the media would have a fit if it was Obama. They're having a fit when it's Trump.
Well, Fox News is not having a fit. I mean, if you listen to Rush Limbaugh or Fox News, or if you go to Mark Levin, you go to all over AM radio, they're not talking about it. I mean, they're mum's the word there. Bob, thanks. Thanks for a great call. Great to hear from you. 813-239-9663 is our phone number. A lot of emails have come in. Chris writes this. First, you have to realize we're slick. I'm just going to read this as he wrote it. First, you have to realize where Slick Willie committed his transgressions, it was in the Oval Office. So he spells word, W-E-R-E. I'm not sure what Chris means by this. Donald Trump's, before he was everyone elected, that's why we really don't care about it. So not very well written, but I think what Chris is saying is that because Trump did it, had sex outside his marriage, before he was elected. That's why he doesn't really care about it. I think the question is, the hush money was paid just before the election. So I think the election does come into this, but Chris says it doesn't. All right. Chris, thanks for your email. 813-239-9663. Anonymous from the 352 area code says, this business is not ours, but now what President Trump did before he even ran for president is something for us to talk about. So there's a 352 agreeing with Chris. Chris, thank you so much, and Anonymous, thank you. 813-239-9663. And let's see if I can get a fresh email here. Gina writes this: I doubt it's just a non-disclosure. Trump doesn't want this disclosed for some reason. This and the second woman. Fox hasn't reported on this. Gee, their ratings are going to take a hit, writes Gina. Let's go back to the phones, and we're going to go to Susan in Bradenton. Hi, Susan. You're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, thanks, Rob. I don't want to go off topic, but I just want to ask this question. Did any sitting president call Fidel Castro when he won an election?
I don't believe any sitting president ever called Fidel Castro when he won an election.
I don't either. And that's why that ridiculous behavior of our president just shows how out of touch and how ignorant he is about his role. And that's all. Thanks.
All right, Susan. Thanks a lot. 813-239-9663. I think you could make the case that, you know, we had bad relations with Castro's government because he declared it a communist government. And I think Russia, you might say, is certainly a capitalist, if not a crony capitalist, probably more of a crony capitalist country where the insiders make all the money. So maybe President Trump doesn't have a problem with crony capitalism. What do you think? 813-239-9663. Let's go to Gary in Dunedin. Gary, you're on. What would you like to say?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to sum up the totality of why Trump's behavior with this porn star and much of his other behavior is important, regardless of when his behavior took place. But I'll attempt it. It's having to do with how a society has to operate by people engaging in the social contracts of honesty, reliability, transparency, integrity, character, in their personal contracts, such as the marriage vows. And also that people have to abide by a larger social contract in their business conduct, and if they're in public life, in their public life conduct. On all of those counts, by his own self-confession, as well as by documented, not fake news, not bias news, but documented factual issues as found in courts and in researchers, some of whom you've had on your program, like David K. Johnston, Donald Trump is a man who believes himself outside and above the social contracts by which a society has to have as its foundation. He has admitted to being an adulterer. He has admitted to breaking business contracts. In fact, that's part of his business model. He has admitted that he will do anything he can get away with doing to further his own personal interest. You can't have a functioning society with sociopathic, immoral, conscience-free people like Donald Trump, especially when they're the President of the United States. So he is a harbinger of a Roman Empire-style collapse, where he resembles greatly the end-phase emperors such as Nero and Caligula. And I just ask any of these people who've called in this past hour defending him, would you want an adulterer, a bankruptcy king, a serially dishonest person, a person who would by their own words, do anything for money? Would you want them as your spouse or friend or neighbor? No, you would not. And this country has to make a moral decision. Do we want a man of good character as president, or do we not? The Trump supporters don't care if he has good moral character, and it's the demise of our country if people like him win.
All right, Gary, thanks a lot. Thanks for your comments. I mean, I do think that it's pretty well established that, to Gary's point, that he's dishonest. And it's only established because I think there's long lists of thousands of times that the president has said things that are dishonest. And now we add to that what apparently he's trying to do in the Stormy Daniels case, and that is hide the truth, which is very similar to being dishonest. And so I think, you know, I think Gary raises a really good question. Do we want somebody who's this dishonest in the White House, and does it help our country? 813-239-9663. Let's go to Jill in St. Pete. Hi, Jill. You're on. What would you like to say?
Hi.
Hi.
By the way, I thought Gary, that last caller, he was eloquent. Everything he said was really spot on. But what I wanted to mention today in reference to Fox News, which I really believe is really slanted news, because I watch it all. I won't even watch Fox anymore. But, you know, their military analyst just recently resigned from Fox News, calling them a propaganda machine, which is really, really what they are. And we've seen this now for quite some time. One of the reasons why they won't talk about Stormy Daniels and everything is because they are a propaganda machine for Donald Trump, and even members of their own ranks now are starting to leave them because they can't stand being in that kind of atmosphere.
Yeah, you know, and Jill, I'm glad you pointed this out, because several people have emailed me this morning, and I saw it last night. I'm going to read from that Fox News analyst who quit, and now that you brought it up. Thanks for bringing it up. All right, Jill, thanks. And just reading a story, this is from the Huffington Post. A longtime Fox News analyst is quitting, saying the network has become a Trump administration propaganda machine that falsely disparages the FBI and intelligence community. Retired Army Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Peters, in a sharply worded email to colleagues obtained by BuzzFeed and the New York Times, said he decided not to renew his contract with Fox News. Peters, who once referred to former President Barack Obama as a total pussy who was being date-raped by Russian President Vladimir Putin, contributed to the network for about a decade. He wrote, "Today I feel that Fox News is assaulting our constitutional order and the rule of law while fostering corrosive and unjustified paranoia among viewers," Peters wrote. "The network has devolved," Peters continued, "into a mere propaganda machine for a destructive and ethically ruinous administration." So you can look up that. You Fox News viewers will know that guy, because I see him a lot on Fox, or used to see him a lot on Fox, Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Peters, and you can look up his resignation letter yourself. 813-239-9663 is our phone number, and you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. Jeff Haynes is our phone producer today, doing a great job taking all these phone calls. And let's go to Sean in Tampa. Hi, Sean. You're on. What would you like to say?
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I do appreciate it. You know, I just wanted to touch on two things. One, you know, about the Stormy Daniels thing and illicit affairs historically through president throughout history. You know what took place before they were president, I'll be honest with you, I don't care. I'm more concerned with current world events, our current infrastructure, things of that nature. Is it moral? Is it ethical what has taken place? No. I mean, I'm married. I would never cheat on my wife. You know, I don't think you would either. You know, it's just wrong. But I'm more concerned when I watch the news about current events and world events and what's taking place in my country. We've gotten to a point where the rhetoric, the inflammatory rhetoric, the conspiracy theories, and everything about Trump and our presidency, it's overtaking and it's overwhelming everything. I mean, how many Americans can really say what's going on in the world today because they're so involved with what's going on with Trump? Now, my second part, I just want to touch on Russia real quick. You know, Vladimir Putin, he's not a saint, but he's not Lenin and he's not Stalin.
Well, Vladimir Putin is an autocrat, and he's not a small D Democrat. And if you were GLBT or if you were just trying to own a small business in Russia, you would be toast if you didn't go along with Putin. Hey, Sean, we got to go. Sean, I'm sorry to say we got to go. Sorry, I wish we had more time. We're out of time. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813-238-8001 and record your comment on extension 115. And we'll play your comments back tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Coming up in the next hour, NOLA will be back and he'll be hosting the Midpoint program. And this is the Bay Area's community radio station, WMNF, Tampa, St. Petersburg. We're going to get the latest news from National Public Radio.